prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The scripture today is taken from Philippians chapter 3, verses 14b through 14 from the Pew Bible. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to the zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yes, whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God.
My friends, it is good to be with you on this day. I've had a few people ask me, how much longer do I have in a cast? And it's just 10 more days. And we are counting those days down with a big X as every day passes. And I know there's a few of you I had to kind of make this announcement because many of you keep thinking that I got a tattoo. And the only thing I can say to that is we're going to have to move you up, maybe look at some glasses for you, but it's not a tat. Even though I kind of thought, you know, one of my responses has been, I guess I am a pastor that is with it. And so maybe next Sunday I'll show up with a nose ring so I can relate. No, that's not going to happen, so don't fret. But we do give thanks. I just want to say again, thank you and how appreciative I am of you and your prayers of me and for the healing that has been taking place. And I have no doubt that in 10 days, when this comes off, I will be feeling much better. And a great part of that is your concern, your love, and your care of myself and my family. And so I do appreciate you. Let's pray. Gracious God, I do give thanks for this day, for this time to be together, and for your amazing grace that continually surrounds us. I pray that by the power of your grace and love, that you might open our hearts to your word, a living word that comes to us today and challenges us to grow and to become more than we are now. And so may we heed that challenge. May we hear your words. But they're also words of comfort and love. They're words of grace. So be with us, and may we hear what you need us to hear. Wherever we are in our life, may we hear what you need to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. While setting the table for dinner one evening, a little girl entertained herself by bringing the utensils to life. Her mother listened as the knives and the forks and the spoons carried on a conversation and wrestled their way onto the table. Suddenly, the girl looked over at her mother and declared, "You know, if I had to choose, I'd be a spoon." "A spoon?" the mother replied. "Why wouldn't you want to be a spoon? I mean, what's wrong with being a knife? What's wrong with being a fork?" "Well," the little girl exclaimed, Forks are just too grabby. They're always stabbing stuff and taking stuff that's just not theirs. Like in school, I hate it when someone takes a piece of my dessert with their fork and eats it." Okay, her mother agreed. Well, what about being a knife? No, knives are scary. They like to cut things up, and you can't really eat with them. You just slice stuff up with a knife. But, the little girl continued, holding a shiny spoon right there in front of her face, spoons can scoop up lots of stuff. And then, spoons can even pass it around and pass that stuff out. They're just, and her mother suggested, nice and round and smooth and friendly. Her daughter's eyes lit up. That's right. I'd just rather be a spoon. Now, my friends, be a spoon is not just a silly childhood game. It is a great image of the Christian lifestyle. It is an image of a ministry that is in continual motion. That little girl's analysis of silverware was right on the nose. But it was also very revealing insight into the way various types of people operate and function within this world. You want to be a fork? We all know plenty of forks. These are the gimme people, those who never seem to have enough on their plate to satisfy themselves. So they're constantly on the lookout for something more, something better, something different. In their greed, these gimme more fork people can't stop to savor the morsels that they're collecting. The only craving that they have is the desire to have more and to stab it and to consume it. You want to be a knife? Knife people are fixated in what lies right in front of them, but only because they're trying to figure out how they can carve it into a new image, especially a new form that they themselves will determine. Knife people are control freaks. Knives try to reconstruct reality so that it will serve their purpose, that it will serve their preference. No matter what's placed before a knife people, it's never quite right. The sharp blade of the knife goes to work slicing off anything that they find objective, cutting down any big goals into tiny piecemeal projects, dissecting the heart out of ideas, never leaving anything whole and complete. You want to be a spoon? Spoons are distinctively different because instead of taking, spoons are designed to serve. A spoon offers sustenance to other people. It's not just concerned with scooping up everything in its path. Spoons exist for one purpose only, and that purpose is to serve. Spoon people are adaptable. They can operate in a variety of venues, whether it's soup or ice cream. They can scoop it up. Spoon people serve others, but they're also good at stirring things up when they need to be stirred up as well. Ever notice that in a good silverware set, there are twice as many spoons as anything else? A service for four includes four knives, four dinner forks, four salad forks, but eight spoons. That's because everyone, even the utensil manufacturer people, I'm not sure who they are, know that spoons get used for more things and in more ways than do knives and forks. Because their shape is less specialized, spoons are more adaptable. You can eat spaghetti, you can have soup with a spoon. Being a spoon, being a server, sometimes means dishing up some pretty rough stuff. But if it is a well-balanced and sturdy spoon, it can handle it. It can do it. Paul, before his Damascus Road experience, what kind of person do you think Paul was, huh? Paul was a knife person. He was a zealous Pharisee. He tried to surgically remove Christianity, which he deemed as offensive growth on the body of Judaism. His strict adherence to the law had already sliced off his view of right and wrong, clean and unclean, chosen and cursed, into neat, predetermined pieces. But after Paul relinquished his confidence in the flesh and gave his life a commitment to Christ, Paul found his honed edges were beaten and flat and smooth, and his narrowness was pulled wide into a bowl. His rigidity was bent into a gentle curve. In other words, Paul was transformed from a knife to a spoon. In his new form, Paul became committed to serving Christ by serving others. The sharp-pointed attacks of Saul, the knife, became the nurturing and nourishing scoops of service and salvation dished up and out by Paul, the spoon. As a spoon, Paul demonstrated not only could he serve it, but he could also take it. In all of his correspondences, it's obvious that Paul himself received sustenance and support from the Christian communities, the church of faith that he helped to establish. Paul could take the abuse, the insults, the imprisonments, the cold, the cruelty that he experienced as a servant of Christ. In fact, he welcomed these experiences, viewing them as a way that he could participate in Christ's suffering. Not even the prospect of death fazed Paul, for he was fully convinced from the eyes of faith that the gift of righteousness he had received would bring him into full participation in Christ's resurrection. My friends, it's not easy to be a spoon. A woman accompanied her husband to the doctor's office. After his checkup, the doctor called the wife into his office alone. He said, "Your husband is suffering from a severe disease combined with horrible stress. If you don't do the following, your husband will surely die. Each morning, fix him a healthy breakfast. Be pleasant and make sure he is in a good mood. For lunch, prepare him with a nutritious meal. For dinner, prepare an especially nice meal for him, and do not burden him with chores, as he has probably had a bad day. Don't discuss your problems with him. It will only make his stress worse. And most importantly, satisfy his every whim. If you can do this for up to 10 months to a year, I believe your husband will regain complete health." On the way home, the husband asked his wife, "So, honey, what'd the doctor say?" And she replied, "I'm sorry, honey, but he told me that you were going to die." You see, it's hard to be a spoon. What kind of changes would you have to make if your soul, if you stop being a frantic and frenetic fork, stabbing other things, or a nasty knife that just pierces others' life and even your own? What would it take to replace those actions with scooping out love and grace for others in their life? To be in service to brothers and sisters instead of being in competition with them. To give up trying to have it all and instead to commit yourself to sharing everything that you can. To cut out carving up those that are different from you and instead adapt your attitudes to their needs. To stop worrying what's on your own plate and instead start paying attention to the nutritional needs of those who are around you every day, and then dishing up what it is that they need. Being a spoon is not easy. Spoons are not out for themselves. Abraham Lincoln was awakened in the middle of the night by a bureaucrat who informed the president that one of his appointees to a high government post had died hours before. The bureaucrat blurted out, "Mr. President, can I take his place?" And Lincoln replied, "It's all right with me if it's all right with the undertaker." Being a spoon Being in Christian service to others doesn't mean being a slave to all and to any demands that are thrown your way. As a faithful witness to Christ's love, Paul knew when there were times that he had to dish it out. Dish out something that was hard for his audience to swallow. The various groups in Corinth fighting over theological preeminence and spiritual gifts, they needed to hear about God's amazing love. The proud Athenians with their sophisticated pagan ways didn't want to have their patron goddess revealed as just another lifeless silver statue. The proud law-touting Judaizers in Philippi didn't want to hear that all that they had thought gain was really nothing more than a loss. Yet Paul also recognized that spoon spirituality is the essential ingredient for effective ministry. When Christian spoons come together and work, amazing things happen. Amazing things happen in the life of that spoon. Amazing things happen in the life of that church. Amazing things happen in the life of the community and even the world. So what is it? Of all the utensils that are out there, which one do you want to be? I pray that it's a spoon. A spoon that serves up grace and love. The same grace that we have received from our Heavenly Father and dishes it out, heaping pilefuls of love and grace to those who are in need. My friends, be a spoon. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
We join the service of